Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shaman from around the world. Visit her website at starfuentes.com. Then join her here every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. And today I want you to look at yourself in your own divine light. And what does divine mean? Divine is of the highest vibration. It is clearly illuminating. It is without judgment. It is without jealousy and devoid of any negative emotions. Divine is the purest connection that anyone can have without your experience being a magnifying glass or a microscope. So talking about divine intervention, where the clearest of purest energies come in and work with you, or divine intuition, where also the strongest, clearest, purest energies come in and work with you, is an amazing subject. There is so many things that distract us, so many things we have to put to one side to become connected with the divine. We have to put aside our body. How does our body feel? Can I get away from my sore muscle? Can I get away from my dis-ease? Can I get away from my feelings of resentment? Can I move through whatever's hanging over my shoulders and become that pure crystal so that the divine is amplified through me and to me and whatever energy I'm focusing on, be it intuition, intervention, divine love, can be so perfect, can be so powerful and so clear, for there are no mistakes, that nothing is questionable, and everything is. Does the divine speak to me? I'm not so sure. It's a little bit more like a little bit of a roar. Does the divine whisper to me? Maybe, but it's so powerful that it sounds like a stage whisper. And in myself and in you and in each person on this whole planet and animals too is the capacity, the ability, the will to function with the divine present through you and in you. Can I slow down? Can my mind slow down? Can I stop thinking about yesterday? Can I stop thinking about tomorrow? What am I going to have for lunch? What do I need to buy at the store? Did I turn the oven off? Have I learned to meditate through the years where these voices, these distractions, where I'm not tripping over my own words and listening to the sounds of my past? Can I truly, truly be divine? Yes. Yes. We all truly can be divine. We can be connected in that manner. But oh boy, those things we have to get out of the way the childhood resentments, the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual things that bother us. And can we become God enough to be the divine? You know, it didn't happen in 1 year, and it didn't happen in five, and I don't even know if it happened in one decade for me, but it took several decades for me to reach a place where I was so connected, where star disappeared and my I am was a sponge of listening. It was a crystal of attunement. It was the wind that blew away anything that wasn't supposed to be there, be it negative, be it used, be it unmatching energies. And then with my breath, I breathe it and I breathe it again. I found the divine, that the divine was always inside me, that it had never left me. I had probably even started with it, but there were so many things, so many energies, so many movements. I could twiddle my fingers and lose the divine. And after decades, I came to a place where no matter where I was, no matter what I was doing, what I was being or to be doing, I could find that divine. It was there. I could home in on it very, very quickly. I trained myself to connect with the divine. And yes, okay, it wasn't all book readings, and it wasn't all sitting in front of a master. And many times it was in my interactions with you, with people, in my readings, and in my healings, where I saw energy go one way and said, oh, I don't know if I want to do anything about that. And then 3 minutes later, I realized I had to. Where the things I said that came out of my mouth made no sense to me, but they were divinely perfect, divinely accurate to the person sitting in front of me. And soon the impossible became possible, and I honed it. I honed the divine intervention. I honed the divine intuition. I honed the divine healer. And great. Oh, wow, wonderful. It was wonderful. I could tell you stuff about yourself. I could see diseases and bring the ease back into the person's body. Yet for myself, the divine was just a little bit more elusive. Well, wait a minute. Let's get real. It was a lot more elusive for me to find that divine and have it be accurate. Did I really listen to that, or did I hear what I wanted to hear? Is that what I saw, or did I miss what I didn't like to see? The divine for me became my greatest teacher, my worst student, my best enemy, and my best friend. All I had to do was get ego. All I had to do was wish for something for myself and make the wish bigger than the light. And the divine would not be so divine. It would be through what I wanted, to what I needed, to what my opinions were. And that went on for another decade or so. And finally, through practice, through making mistakes, through sticking my foot in my own mouth, I managed to reach a divine place where I could see me. I could feel me and know me. in the divine. For my own disease, for my own light, for my own purpose. As you move through your life, you will find that your intuition grows, that your psychic powers grow, that your ability to see, feel, hear, and know what is beyond earthly comprehension grows as much as you nurture it. So take a deep breath and say the word divine. Does it seem foreign to you? Does it feel familiar? Does it look familiar? Remember that day you stood upon that hill and you watched the sunset and you realized you were one with everything? Do you remember that peak experience where you thought something and God, the universe, something showed up to tell you you were absolutely divine in your answer? I want you to connect with the divine. I want peace to be in you. You know, people come to me and say, Star, oh my God, I'm praying for world peace. And I think about it and I feel about it and I will. Please pray for world satisfaction. If everybody was satisfied, they wouldn't steal their neighbor's countries. They wouldn't hurt each other economically. Pray for satisfaction. Because insatisfaction is deep gratitude. Insatisfaction is integrity. And most importantly, when you are satisfied, you get divine dignity. And that creates a whole new array of vibrations for you to play with this lifetime. So take a deep breath and listen to the words. Divine intuition. Divine intervention. Divine self. And I want to talk to you about a friend of mine. My friend is named Susan Shumsky. And most of you have met Susan. She's beautiful. She has a huge aura. She has light in her eyes, a smile that comes gracefully and gently to her face. She's a spiritual teacher. She's written 13 books. And I want to talk to you about her new book, Awaken Your Divine Intuition. And Diane does a wonderful job, a great job in connecting you to the divine, telling you what to drop, what to collect, what to add, what to subtract. So you can find her at SusanShumsky.com and take a look at her material and buy something and play with her. So today is just a short call, and we have worked on a book called The Chakras. Now, when I did the chakras back in 1950-something when I first learned them, I had to memorize every chakra and every petal that every chakra had. Nobody told me in the 50s or the 60s or 70s and 80s or in the 90s. Nobody told me what each petal did. Finally, after decades of working with the chakras, I have found the energies associated with the petals. I have done some activations that help you activate a chakra petal. So if a petal is folded or missing in your chakra, that's like having a part of your TV that doesn't receive the picture. It the chakras are about receiving and purifying energies and auras of a particular level or layer. So in this book, we work with the chakra levels, and then we work with the leaves of the chakra. As we work with these leaves and petals, we bring them back to doing their original job. We bring them back to interpreting their energies and being there for you fully. It's a nice little small book, and you can buy it on my website, www.starfuentes.com. And join me next week when we have a guest.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. We'll be taking calls after the half hour. The number is 646-716-9663. And this evening, I have a very dimensional metaphysical teacher named Ken Barkin. Ken, are you there?
I am here.
Wow, it's a pleasure to meet you, and welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to meet you as well. Thank you.
Okay, Ken, how did all the spirituality, how did your connection to Source get started in your life?
When I was about 9, I remember walking into a room. It was my youngest sister's bedroom, and I saw my grandfather standing there, and he was talking to me, and I wasn't thinking anything of it, so I was talking back to him. And it slowly kind of got into my head that he was being buried at the time I was in the room talking to him. And my parents thought my youngest sister and I were too young to go. So he came to the house to actually spend the time with us. And he was giving me directions and telling me what he wanted me to do with my grandmother and how he wanted me to do certain things.
And
so that was probably first.
That was pretty amazing. Was he physically, like, solid, or was he a little bit see-through, what do you think?
At first I just thought I saw my grandfather, and he was talking to me. So I didn't think anything of it, and then as I was talking to him, I realized he was translucent.
Mm-hmm.
So then I got a little scared, because nobody had really explained that type of thing to me. And I know I really couldn't tell my parents about that stuff, because I figured they would start putting me on medication.
Oh, boy. So tell me about your journey from seeing grandfather to where you are today, if you can put it in 1,000 words or so.
Yeah. Well, I thought, at first I just assumed everybody else saw this. I didn't. It took me a while to realize that other people didn't see things going on, or other people didn't realize certain things were going on. So for a long time, I learned to suppress it because it seemed to make people nervous. And then later on, I got to a certain point. I was studying something called polarity therapy, and the man who taught it shamanistically. So he encouraged us to have visions and to get other information from other fields. And I realized I just wasn't ready. I wasn't going to shut it down anymore. So I let it go, and then I was doing the polarity therapy, and then I did feng shui for a while. And I was getting messages just to do the readings with people and help them understand what they need to do. And if you can help them shift with inside, then you actually help them manifest what they're trying to create. So it kind of developed from there, and then it got more into the channel work and the teaching and looking for topics where I was seeing that the students were having problems, like a lot of people had trouble dealing with empathic abilities. So I would teach a lot of classes, helping them understand how to protect themselves, how to trust what they were feeling, and use that to help them with what was happening around them. So it's been a whole little evolutionary thing, and it's gotten to this point where it seems to be just transition of learning how to just be open and be at peace and show up.
That's powerful. I am a firm believer in participating in the process, the journey, not running through your path so fast that you don't get to see, feel, know the psychic, the spiritual, the dimensional realities around you. And what I do is I encourage people to be observant on their path and to watch where they're stepping and be conscious of
mm-hmm.
where they're going. And I noticed from your website, www.kenbarkin.com, that you're into helping people with their journey. And many, many people want goals answered, you know, answers to their goals.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that you work with people in their journey?
Well, if I'm working with a one-on-one client, then we might look at what's going on in your life. How are you participating in that? How are you... I've noticed a lot of people that end up giving you the victim story, and they think that they don't understand what's going on, and it's not manifesting fast enough. So I'm trying to take them back into, you're not the victim. If you can go with the concept that it's all love-based and everything you're creating is a gift, because Spirit's actually saying, we love you so much, we're going to let you keep crashing until you're ready to stop. So it depends on the individual and where they are. I notice when I work with light workers, I can usually get them into their gifts pretty fast. And once they start learning how to pay attention to their own intuitive voices or however it's coming for them, that it tends to get them on the path a little faster. But people who aren't into that direction, a lot of the times it takes a lot more work to help them realize they don't need to struggle and keep hitting their head against the wall. Because I notice a lot of people have that that fear of God, and we're going to be suffering if we don't do it the right way. And that's not what any of the base is. In fact, a lot of the channel stuff lately has been switching it from fear base into a love base. And if they can switch to the love base, they don't have to do all that struggle stuff.
That's good. I call it blessings, you know, a blessing
mm-hmm.
and a blessing at the same time.
Right.
You know, back about, I'd say September 11th, I started not to be able to tell time as well. Before that, you know, I think I did my first teaching in 1958. I'm 75 years old for my reading. Before that, I could say in the next couple of months, da-da-da-da-da is going to happen. And things were very lined up and orderly. Now, looking
mm-hmm.
at this past 2 or 3 weeks with myself and my clients, there's a different kind of energy going on here.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been experiencing with that?
Something very similar to that as well. I used to be able to say, okay, 2 weeks from now this is going to happen, or a month from now you're going to have this, and be really accurate with the time. And now it just seems to be when the energy's aligned, it's going to happen. And it doesn't matter what the timing is. It's like, Spirit energy is just pulling that whole timing away from everything. So it's really, and that I think is what the problem is right now with trying to get people to be patient, because we can't just say, hey, next week this is when you're going to see this. And even when we do it, then they're not doing their piece. And when they don't do their piece, then it doesn't line up, waits till later until they're going to manifest it. And I've noticed, like in relationship stuff, when people say, well, when am I going to meet the love of my life, that it's like there are pieces they need to do for both sides, and until that happens, you're not going to come together. But they want you to be able to say, in 3 months, you're going to meet the person. And I find can't do it anymore.
Well, the energy's changed a lot. I kind of think, like, you know, it's some beads on a necklace. If you do some things and those beads fall towards you, and if you don't do some things, and sometimes it's about being. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
you have to be silent. You have to integrate. And some people just keep going and going, and they have a lot of activity and very little bits of accomplishment. So I understand you're a channel, correct?
Yeah, but I'm more of a conscious channel, so I'm aware when the stuff's coming through.
And tell me a little bit about the energies that you channel.
Lately, I mean, it's like if you look at the website, most of the time when I sign it, it's Yahweh, which is another name for God, and that's mainly what's been coming through, but there are a lot of other beings that have been coming through as well. So sometimes there are different star beings that will come through. I don't really work with the angelic realms anymore, but for a long time that's what was coming through. And I'm getting these beings that are just interdimensional, and it's a collective force, and that seems to be the main energies that have been guiding me through this phase right now.
The interdimensional energies are very, very powerful. I'm going to be teaching a class on the E8, which is physics, and it's a mathematical theory that proves there are 246 dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, it proves it. It includes all the other laws like gravity and things. And things are different in each dimension. There are different choices that the energies of the main planet have made. There are different choices that people have made. And if you work with these dimensional beings who have a perspective of five or six or seven different dimensions, they can tell you a lot more information on how to be on your path and how to enjoy the journey, which people don't enjoy the journey. You know, people say to me, I have to go to work. And I go, no, you don't. You made that choice. You signed that contract. You made that choice. You can make the choice not to go to work or do a different work.
Mm-hmm.
And dimensional beings for me are just like, you know, cut the crap. I don't want to hear the story. Okay, let's let's talk about now and what you can do.
Right, but that's kind of like that victim story concept too, you know, where people get stuck in, I'm the victim, I have to, I'm stuck on this. And they don't realize, no, all I have to do is just say, okay, God, I'm ready to do what I'm really here to do. And something else will open up for them.
What do you think about this great desire for mankind to be in resistance? You know, people who have great powers, psychic powers and connections, that they're complaining, you know, oh my God, I'm too connected. I don't want to know all this stuff. And why do, as humans, do we have so many resistance to life, light, whatever? What do you think it is?
Yeah, I don't know why people have resistance, because I just find life works so much better and easier when you're in the flow and open. Because the whole point of asking for help from the other realms is they give it to us. And then when they give it to us and people say, ah, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to go there. You want me to move there? I'm not moving there.
Hey,
I've done readings for people
reading.
Who said, this is where you're getting to go to live. This is your best place. Oh, I'm not moving to that city.
Yeah, and I've given readings and people paid for information and you give it to them and they blow it off before they can think about it or integrate it. And
so never mind like the spirit people, you know, like the people who are tuned in and they're resisting it. And you wonder, like, why? That's your gift. Use it.
Well, in some ways, you know, I think that we're like diamonds and that different events, different processes facet us, and then different ways of being with the flow polish us. And some of us are just very, very hard-headed, and we need a lot of bless-ons. And some of us go with the flow. So tell me, what has been the funniest thing that Spirit has told you or showed you recently?
The funniest thing? I mean, right? You know, it's like that's my day-to-day life. I'm shown different things. I think, you know, it's like the way I work, when you were talking about September 11th, I had been directed to be in Colorado at the time. I was living outside of D.C., and I didn't know why. I thought I was moving here at the time, and then it just turned out on the 10th I got up and I journaled the whole thing that happened in New York. So But that's just the way I operate. So it's not, it's just the irony of being open and so forth and just showing up and doing the work. So I never look at it as like funny, because I'm just open to where I need to be when I need to be there.
Well, you know, there's lots of funny things that go on with me. You know, I'll put the keys in the bowl by the door. I'll go and look for the keys, and they're not in the bowl by the door. I'll look in the bedroom, I'll look in the bathroom, I'll look in my purse, I'll look at somebody's house, and I go back, and they're in the bowl by the door. You know, I have, you know, experiences that show me that there's much more going on this planet than physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually I can comprehend. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty funny, you know, but when those things happen to me.
Yeah, mine don't play those kind of games on me that much. It's very rare. I mean, sometimes I'll hear them walking around the house, and I live by myself. So it's like, okay, who's in the house?
Uh-huh.
Or, okay, I had an experience once where I was doing this blessing. In Judaism, we have this thing where you do Yahrzeit.
Uh-huh.
And during certain high holidays, you do blessings for people. So I did a blessing. I was staying at my parents' house. They had gone away for some reason. And I did a blessing for all the people that didn't have anybody to bless them and didn't have any ancestors to remember them, that kind of thing. So I went downstairs. I was watching television. And I came upstairs, and all the lights were on upstairs. And I was the only one in the house, and I didn't turn them on. And so I turned them off, and at a certain point in the middle of the night, all the lights went back on in the house. And I just kind of said, okay, I got it. You guys are here.
That's pretty powerful, you know, when that can happen, when lights get turned on. It's a pretty powerful confirmation, you know, that you're doing the work and you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what interesting topics have been coming up now in your sessions that haven't been coming up in the last 2 or 3 years?
I'm noticing right now that the main message they're giving is switch to love base, get rid of the fear base. That's been coming up for the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months, where it's trying to get people out of that foundation, change the foundation. A lot of it's been patience. And trying to get people to stop worrying so much about what's going to happen next, when's it going to happen, when do I get this. It's been let go of the need to control.
Well, that's a big one.
Yeah, which I think a lot of people want to control every part of the process, or they want you to be able to tell them each part of the process. I think I channeled something the other day where it was about let go of any of that, let go of the map, the need to map it out, the need to understand how it's going to happen. It was kind of, they used the analogy of the butterfly when it goes into the chrysalis and it turns from the caterpillar into the butterfly. It's not thinking about the process. It just automatically does it. So they've been saying that the transition that's coming up, when it's time to happen, it'll just happen. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to stress over it. We don't have to try to force it into being.
And that's really important. When I teach a lot of healers and have over the years, and I tell them, you talk to somebody on the phone, don't plan it. You're going to play this music. You're going to use this from your toolbox. When you walk in that room, the moment you walk in that room, that healing starts. Really, it starts from the moment a person makes an appointment. But, you know, and don't plan it. And you just go swim with source, because people say, oh, this person has this cancer. I'm going to play this song, and then I'm going to do a little bit of Reiki, and I'm going to do this. It's an open form. There's no form anymore. When I was 71, I had to do, you know, 22 steps, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now, in these years, there's no form to it. It's just totally being there with.
Or sometimes it's just, let me go touch them.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to touch them. Oh, okay, I'm getting touch them right there. And you just touch them right there, and that's where all the healing starts to happen.
Exactly. So have many people have been channeling and connecting and to extraterrestrials. Have you had any contact or any work with them lately?
Yeah, the only thing they've come through lately to say was that, you know how people get worried about the end of the world and this is going to happen and what's going. They've come through to say they've got an escape plan. If we ever did that to the world, they have an escape plan to help us get out of there.
So that's important, and really, and I found there's different levels. There's extraterrestrials, there's celestials, there's celestials. They got all these different energies that they're very specific about, and you're supposed to be in the right place at the right time, and wherever you are when these energies happen, you will be that beacon of light or that beam of light that is needed in that exact place.
That's right. That's what it's all about. You know, again, it gets into the showing up part. And if we listen to our guides, we're going to be in the right place at the right time.
That's something I want to talk about, showing up.
Okay.
You know, do people realize when they show up and when they don't show up? What does it take for someone to know that they're showing up or not showing up? You know, I've said this to people before, you're not showing up, and they look at me and their eyes get big. Have you worked with getting people to start showing up in their own lives?
Yeah, I've been noticing it, and when people are actually open to showing up, I try to work with them on that. And I think the answer to that is really it's being present. It's getting rid of your agenda, because a lot of times when people are talking to you, they're running their story through their head. And that's that not showing up part, because they're somewhere else. They're not actually present in that moment with you. So if you can get them to actually get rid of the agenda, get rid of the story. And that was another thing that came up the other day, was about our stories get in the way. If we can actually just let go of the story, because the story is not that interesting anymore.
No.
And if people can let go of their story, they're open up to potential and possibility, and it'll make this whole transition part so much easier.
You know, if you have a role and you've dedicated 28 years to being the victim, the actor, the drama queen, the goddess, the princess, if you have a role, then you're not on your path anymore. You know, we started back in the 70s with a lot of that psychotherapy and having people tell their story, heal themselves with the story, forgive, show gratitude, yada, yada. right now, it's now, get here present, and you can be anything in the next second or everything.
Right.
You
remember the woundology thing that went on, too, back in the 70s? Like, let me show you my wound. Let me show everybody my wound. Let me keep repeating that story.
In your room, and then they did the wars, you know. Well, my divorce was worse than your divorce. Well, mine took the husband and the kids. And instead of healing, they get together and tell war stories.
Right.
So everybody would agree that, oh, my God, the wounds are deep. And we kind of went from that into telling war stories, into telling how we heal and how we got over things. And now we're at a point where no story is required.
Right. But I think people think it's not interesting. You know, if you watch television, how much violence is on there right now? You know, that people will not find it interesting unless things are exploding and going really fast. And the concept of just walking into a room and being present terrifies people.
Well, what would happen if you actually had to know yourself?
That's right, and not know yourself from your story. I was trying to tell somebody that if you looked at it from the perspective of every time you tell your story, you're telling the universe, I want more of this. And then they wonder why they start having things show up that are like a disaster. And I said, because you're doing the invocation. You're telling the universe, I want more of this.
And I also teach that worry is prayer for something you don't want in your future. You know, you spend all that time worrying, and you will magnetize that thing to you instead of, you know, praying or meditating. So, it's gotten to be an interesting dynamic in Earth, Gaia. The energies are so accelerated. You know, when I taught something back in 71, it took me a year to teach one person. Now I can teach the same information in 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so spiritually ripe right now. And when we look at the world, it's getting rid of all of our garbage so we can have more space for light.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of my beings that I channel keeps telling me last year's highest light could be this year's, you know, lowest light. We're moving so fast. So what you strived to get last year, to know, could be disposable this
right.
year because you're encompassing so much more energy and light.
That's true. And I think we're going to also see the duality, because there are some people that want to hold on to the old ways. And you get a lot of people that are actually going more into the light energy. So there's going to get to a point where we're not even going to vibrationally be together. We'll be on the planet together, but not really. That the light being energy are going to be in such a high vibration that the people that want to stay in the fear base and the what you're considering the darker energy, they'll be allowed to. They just aren't going to resonate, and they're not going to actually be able to notice the other people.
Yeah, and there's a whole balance center place of that, you know. I'm not going to worry about a burglar, but I'm not necessarily going to leave my doors unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an appropriateness that is very new. Instead of right or wrong, good or evil, there's an appropriateness or inappropriateness
right.
that is very new to our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helping us get really, really well connected.
Yeah, I had this experience where I was doing readings at a show. I used to have the tables and I would do the psychic stuff there. And I was getting tired of the people coming in and asking me the questions that were like lower vibrational questions, where they were trying to challenge that, are you actually really doing any of this? Are you actually tuned in? So I heard before I went, set the parameter that only the people that are supposed to work with you can see you. And what was happening is people would actually walk into my table and not see it.
Interesting, isn't that?
Yeah. But then I ended up having really great clients the whole day because those were the people that could see me and come in and do the readings. So the same thing with the burglar thing. It's like if you set the intention of just my home is safe and protected, it's surrounded in light and love, the darker energy stuff isn't going to want to be around it. It's not going to feel comfortable.
Yes, and it's really important to pay attention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People are not paying attention. They're not mindful. You know,
right.
I've seen people come up at different shows or in my church, come up and ask somebody, how are you? And the person has a tear running down their face. And the person says, fine, and the other person walks away. And I'm going, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This person is crying. They said fine, and you just walked away.
Mm-hmm.
And the harmony of being and your words sometimes can be so skewed.
Right.
You know?
And I've been in the airport where somebody's doing that. They're just like bawling, and you stop and you say, how are you doing? What can I do? And they say, I'm fine. And usually I dig out of my bag and I give them a little box of Kleenex and say, you want to talk?
Yes, and it's amazing how self-centered we can get.
Mm-hmm.
And God will give us, all, or Source will give us these people who we can be beacons of light for. We can, you know, look them in the eyes or help them, you know, when they say somebody died or they lost something. We can
mm-hmm.
just being there, holding that space for them. We don't have to have the answers or solutions to their problems. Sometimes
right.
all you have to do is be there.
Mm-hmm. Or hold their hand. Or just
yes.
sit with them.
And it's important You know, when you think about when I turn on AOL in the morning, I have more news on AOL than my great-grandparents got in 1900. What I read in one day and process in one day is what they processed in a year.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we're processing all this information, so it's really important to be mindful of yourself, mindful of the energy of the people around you. You know, people say, I'm a healer, I'm a healer, I'm a healer. And then people walk by them who are hurt, and they're going, well, where are my clients?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, there goes one, there goes another. So,
well, I guess because I look at healing like it's not really me healing anybody if I do that kind of work. I'm just holding a space for them to do a shift.
Like I teach is you are in the straw in the Coca-Cola between God and that person. You know, you can be the straw. All right, we're coming up on our half-hour break here, so let's take a deep breath. And another one, I guess.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
The number is 646-716-9663. If you have a question for Ken or me, give us a call. 646-716-9663. Which reminds me, you do readings by phone, don't you, Ken?
I do, yeah. And it basically, a lot of it's like life coaching. Because we don't just give them information. We like them to bring themselves to the actual session. So a lot of the times when my guides work with me, they want somebody to start with a question on what do you want help with, and then we start giving them the information from there.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I imagine that on your website, www.KenBarkin, you have rates and how to get in touch with you, correct?
Right. My telephone number is there. My email address is there. And then other information and stuff if I'm teaching a class or if I'm traveling, that's also on there.
I have Angelina on the line with a question.
Good.
All right, Angelina, are you there?
Hi, Ken. Hi, Star.
Hi, Angelina.
Hi, Angelina. What's your question?
I was wondering if I could ask Ken a question.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Are you able to connect with past loved ones?
Yeah. I don't typically do mediumship work, but sometimes that does come through as well.
Okay.
Do you have somebody specific you want us to tune into?
Yes, my grandpa just passed away on the 27th of February, and I was just wondering intuitively if you feel channeling would be good for me as a profession.
Okay, go ahead.
It's not really coming up as the channeling is your profession, but there is some spiritual stuff that will come through you. I'm hearing them say teacher, that you're going to be doing some teaching work, but you're not quite ready to do it and the timing's not right. We were talking about how hard it is to get the timing part, but it's coming up in about another year you'll be doing some teaching.
Okay. All right. And then
what are you interested in learning right now? Because this is a good time for you to study some things that you're interested in, and then that'll help open up the other information for you.
Okay. Yeah, I was hoping to channel because I really love working with animals and angels, And I was really hoping to channel, but I am scared about it, and I don't know if it's the right thing for me.
Well, you know, that's actually kind of different work if you're doing it with animals, because there's a lot of people that will do animal communication work, and a lot of that stuff comes through feeling sense. So that's a whole different energy than the channeling part.
Yeah, I'd like to do both, but like you said, hopefully things will align. Maybe I can open up to that at some point.
Yeah, and what did you need to know about your grandfather? Because I'm feeling like he's crossed over, so he's fine. He's in a good place right now.
Okay, I just was wondering if he had anything to communicate to me, because I miss him a lot, and I wonder.
The main energy I'm feeling from him is just a lot of love to you. But he, a lot of times when we're in that grieving process, they don't come through yet because they want to give us time to actually grieve. And if they come through, then it kind of sets things off more. Yeah. So, but I feel like he's in a good place. He's not hurting anymore. And his energy feels clean over there. Like, And there was an energy of like something went through his body when he went, and all that stuff has been cleared out of him.
Oh, that's good.
So I don't
know
if it was like a cancer or something like that, but it felt like something like that was going on through him.
A hemorrhoid ruptured in his stomach.
Okay, because it was coming through like a flowing type of thing happening with him. But all that's cleared out. He's not hurting anymore. There's nothing of that residually in his spirit energy.
Okay, and for me, for you, is study your spirit animals. Study what, you know, what people's totem animals are. Study what spirit animals mean and get that foundation inside your subconscious, because the animal energies can come in many different ways. And that's important that you study spirit animals or totem animals, okay?
And there's some great books out there for that.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Thank you so much, Star. And
you're
I appreciate it so very much.
Okay, good luck.
Have a delightful evening.
All right, you too. I have Lynn on the line. She also has a question for you.
Okay.
Hi, Lynn. What's your question?
Maybe I'll let you guys tell me what's important for me to know right now.
Ken?
Well, first thing that I heard was peace.
Okay.
Like, get into that sense where you're feeling peace within yourself. And stop struggling. It feels like there's a strong energy where you're trying to fight whatever is showing up right now.
It's
doesn't
like
mean that you have to put up with... I'm sorry?
It's more like the struggle to find peace.
Well, but, you know, again, peace is peace. So, you know, if you're struggling to find peace, then you're not at peace. You know, it's kind of like the gift of patience is patience.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you meditate at all?
No, not in the physical premise where I live right now. Occasionally, you know, I'll go on group meditations outside of the home here.
Okay, what about when you're taking a shower? What are you thinking about and processing when you're taking a shower?
I don't know. It's hard to say different things at different times.
Okay, when you're taking a shower, use that time to just think about peace. Just send the energy of peace in your body. Or you can, when you're lying in bed at night, just put your hands on your heart, on your chest, whatever feels comfortable, and just send the energy of peace in there.
Okay.
And see how that feels. Also, pay attention to how your dreams are after you do that kind of technique.
Okay, my message for you is thank you for being. And in your moments when you were not thinking, where you are not ahead of yourself or behind yourself, that being, you being, is very important. But it seems to me your thoughts take you out of being, take you into the past or take you in the future. And what you need to know is that being is just as important as any other work there is on this planet. And you need to know that it's important to be, okay?
Okay.
And know when you're doing that, everything else gets done too.
Okay. Can you tell me how long before my elbow heals?
Right or left?
Right.
Totally healed by July 30th.
Okay.
Mostly healed by June 15th.
Oh, thank you.
There's some resistance around that healing, too. So be conscious of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, you know, a lot of the times joint stuff, when we get our joint stuff, it's about space that we're not giving ourselves. So if you want to help speed that up a little bit, make sure you're giving yourself space where you're not having to do all the time.
Okay.
And you're not being invaded by all these people that are trying to get things from you.
All right, thank you, Lynn.
You'll heat things up.
Thank you both.
Thank you,
Lynn. Thank you very much.
All right, bye.
All right. Now I have Marie on the line with a question.
Hi.
Marie, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Marie, what's your question, sweetie?
Well, my question, I don't know if you do any healing during this call. Is it just for questions or do you do healing? I was going to ask for healing for my boyfriend's